right. Everybody happy?
Happy.
Yeah. You cannot be happy, or you cannot not be happy with that song. Because it's talking about fanning the flames. And it's talking about the fire that's inside of us. You know, when Jesus comes into our lives, he puts a fire in our belly. And you know, life has a way of just going and snuffing that out. But you know, the Lord has a way, just like he puts skin on dry bones, he has a way of going, let me light the fire again. That's what I pray to the Lord every day. Lord, light my fire. Light the fire in me again. Don't let it go out. Don't let it go out. Well, he was a man who was letting go of his life. He sat in a jail cell resembling more of a dungeon than a cell. It was poorly lit. It was cold. It was damp. He was chained to the wall and waiting to die. His execution was imminent, and he was apparently lonely. As his thoughts began to wander, they centered on his close friend. His friend had been more like a son to him, really, and they had shared many experiences together. They'd shared good experiences. They'd shared bad experiences. You've had friends like that, right? The last image he had of his friend was of him weeping. His friend had been so saddened by his departure. We've all been there, haven't we? I remember a good friend of mine, one of my best friends in seminary. We stood out in the parking lot. He went his way, I went my way. And we hugged each other, and we both bawled like babies. Of course, I used to bawl watching the Flintstones. So that's, you know, that was nothing new. But, you know, we just both cried like babies. He didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave. Now, as he sits in his cell, he too longs to see his friend once more. He sits down and he decides to write his friend a letter. And it would be a letter in which he would pour out the heart, his heart, to his friend, telling him how much he loved him, encouraging him, building him up, and informing him that he is now in charge of the work that they had shared together. It's time for his friend to take over, and the work must not fail. The man writing the letter is the Apostle Paul. His friend is Timothy. His friend is Timothy. 2 Timothy is really such a dynamic letter. It really is. It's so authentic. It's genuine. And that's what I love about Paul. He's just genuine. Paul had been recently arrested in Rome under the orders of the Emperor Nero, as Pastor brought to us last week. And during Nero's reign as Emperor of Rome, he took great delight. He loved persecuting and killing Christians. He did that as a pastime. Nero would be responsible for the deaths of both the Apostle Paul and Peter. So this letter is written shortly before Paul's death. And so often we hear people saying that they never got a chance to tell loved ones everything that they wanted to tell them and how they cared about them and all before they died. They never got that chance. I hope that's not you. But Paul wants to make sure that he tells Timothy everything he felt in his heart while he still had the chance, and so he writes this letter. More than anything, the letter of 2 Timothy is a changing of the guard, so to speak. If you've ever seen that, it's a changing of the guard. And Paul passes the torch of ministry to Timothy. One of the great spectacles of the Olympic Games is the passing of the torch. It's really one of my favorite things to encounter on TV while I'm watching it are those opening exercises. And they make such a big deal out of passing the torch because it is a big deal. The passing of the torch is symbolic. and they make it into an event. One person has fulfilled their duties and responsibilities, and those now those same duties and responsibilities are passed on to the next person, and so on, until the work is completed. Paul has finished his turn of carrying the torch of the gospel of Christ. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, my son. Now it's Timothy's turn to carry the torch and finish his leg of the race. So we're into the second message of this series called Passing the Torch. Paul's words to Timothy were filled with principles and sound, proven advice on how Timothy could be the most effective leader and Christian that he could ever be. And really, when you think about it, every person in this room is like Timothy. Every person in this room, we are all like Timothy. We are currently taking our turn at running with the torch of the gospel of Christ. We are running with the torch. We need to hear Paul's words. We need to apply them to our lives so that we can be effective in our service for God. So let's look at the passage of Scripture. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of God, of life, that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that you may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. See, our emphasis today is centers around Paul's words in verse 6, in which he tells Timothy to fan the flame, the gift that he has received from God. Scholars have debated what this gift was, and it's commonly accepted that Timothy had this gift for ministry, certainly. I mean, he was capable of starting churches, of teaching, of preaching, of evangelizing. I mean, if Timothy were here today, I'm telling you, every church planting organization around would want to grab him up and use him to promote the gospel in the area, because that was Timothy's gift. And Paul's message to Timothy is fully expressed here. Don't hold anything back, Timothy. Don't hold anything back. Go for it with all the gusto that you have in Jesus Christ. Paul encourages Timothy to fan into flame his gift of ministry. How? By first drawing on his spiritual heritage. You see, folks, we all have a heritage. We can trace our families back to where they originated, knowing the careers that they worked and the lives that they lived. Our ancestors' lives continue to shape our lives even today. Even today, our last names bear our ancestors' mark. Even our health is connected to that of our ancestors. I mean, our family heritage gives us a complete picture of the identity of who we are. who we are and where we came from. I love the fact that I come from a family of some 14 or 15 preachers in my family. Ministry was and is, continues to be, a part of my DNA. I really do think it is. I think I have some sort of a ministry, you know, gene in my blood or something. I think I do, because it's a part of who I am. My grandfather was a circuit rider in Kentucky, going from church to church, planting churches and preaching at these churches on horseback. Likewise, as Christians, we all have a spiritual heritage. Our spiritual heritage consists of people that introduced us to Jesus Christ and have helped us to mature in our faith. I love the people that introduced me to Jesus. I love the people that took me under their wing and discipled me. I love those people. One of my mentors growing up lives up here in Gig Harbor. I had no idea he lived out here, but when I moved out here, I found out that John lived in Gig Harbor. He took me under his wing. His sister took me under his wing. Brother and sister tag team. Let's get Chuck saved and let's get Chuck growing in the Lord. And I can remember staying up till 3 in the morning just talking about the Lord with those people. I mean, I just loved them. I love them to this day. In fact, I got a text just 2 or 3 days ago from one of them saying, I was just thinking about you. I was sitting here in church thinking about you and thinking about the joy that you brought to me. I mean, it was like a letter from Paul or something. You know, seriously. I mean, it was my mentor. She wondered how I was doing in the faith. That's what it's like when you pass the torch on. You know, your spiritual children are just like that. They're like your children, and you wonder how they're doing. You know, for some, our spiritual heritage is linked to maybe a specific church or maybe to a specific minister. It may be linked to a teacher or to a friend. My Sunday school teacher, Pete Talarico, was a guy that was a father to me. A father. Or as in Timothy's case, maybe our spiritual heritage comes directly from our family. We grew up in a Christian home, maybe. You know, Paul gives us a glimpse into Timothy's spiritual heritage. He goes, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. Why, Timothy? Because I can just see it. I can see it in you. Timothy grew up in a house of faith under his mother and grandmother. His mother and grandmother were both Jewish, but see, Timothy's father was a Gentile. He wasn't religious at all. It was his mother and his grandmother who taught him everything he knew about God. And you see, in this time period of Timothy, it was common for a Roman boy's mother to be his main formative influence up to the age of 7. And since Timothy's father was not religious, being a Gentile, it was customary that boys without a living religious father would learn about God, would learn about the law and things from their grandmothers. So the grandmother took the job that was before her, and she instilled the things of God into Timothy. What a great grandmother. You know, what Paul is reminding Timothy is that he comes from this wonderful, powerful, great family of faith. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois were great women of faith, and Paul sees that Timothy has followed in their footsteps. Man, they did a great job, didn't they? It was like Paul is saying to Timothy, you know, my son, you've been defined by your heritage. Don't run from that. Walk in it. Walk in your heritage. Draw on that heritage of faith for strength. and guidance in order to carry the torch of ministry that I'm going to pass down to you. So the question I want to ask you this morning is this. Who makes up your spiritual heritage? Who is it in your past that formed you into the person that you are today? Who was it? It's important that you remember that. Can you still go to those people in times of decision or crisis? Can you still call them up on the phone? I can still call my mentors. Now, my spiritual father, so to speak, Pete Tallarico, he's been gone for quite some time. He went to be with the Lord. But my other mentors, I could call them up today and say, hey, what do you think about this? And they wouldn't hesitate to give me their opinion or set me straight. Who was it in your life? But here's an even better question. Whose spiritual heritage are you a part of? That's even a better question. And that's why we're here today. Who are you a part of? Who are you bringing to the Lord? Who are you discipling? Who are you passing the torch of faith onto? Because I think it's very important that each one of you in this room who call yourselves a follower of Jesus Christ understand that it's your responsibility to take that torch and to pass it on to someone else. Is there one person that you could pass it on to? Remember the Sunday school teacher that I told you about last week? I shared with you that one Sunday school teacher, you know, brought Dwight Moody to the Lord and on and on and on of the list. Who was at the end of the list? Billy Graham was at the end of that list. But it all started with that one Sunday school teacher who was willing to pass the torch down to another person. Who are you passing the torch down to? Whose life are you impacting? You see, let me tell you something, folks, and this is not even in my notes, but I've said this a million times, and people in my Sunday school class are going to start rolling their eyes and say, we've heard this a million times, Chuck. But anyway, I don't care. The principle is this. You can't give away what you don't have. And likewise, the converse of that is you give away what you do have. And if you're not giving it away, what can you surmise from that? If you're not giving it away, what do you not have it to begin with? And if you have it, why are you keeping it to yourself? Why are you keeping it to yourself? Besides Timothy's mother and grandmother, Paul made up a substantial piece of Timothy's spiritual heritage, so much so that he refers to Timothy as my dear son. Paul looked at Timothy like a son in verse 2. It's his spiritual heritage that will help Timothy fan into flame his gift for ministry. Let's go on. Developing his God-given gift. In order for Timothy to fan into flame his gift for ministry, he must draw on his spiritual heritage, but he must also develop that gift. Paul encourages him to develop his gift in verse 6. For this reason, I am reminded or I remind you, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. See, the concept of fanning into flame that Paul uses here also means to stir up, to stir up the pot a little bit, to rekindle. That's another way of looking at fanning the flame. We want to stir it up. We want to rekindle the flame. You know, the gift that God has given Timothy is like a fire. It's burning on the inside of him. And Paul wants Timothy to develop this gift, not waste it. Paul wants Timothy to intensify the fire. You know, make it a raging fire on the inside of you. Paul wants him to be overcome with passion for this gift that God has given him and use it to its full potential. Come on, get the fire going. Use those billows, you know, get them going, get that fire going. In the Southwest United States, there's a fire code that helps distinguish the fire danger for the day. It's called the WIMS system. It's the Weather Information Management System. Maybe you've heard about it. And it just collects various data on and issues ratings every day. And a low risk, you've probably seen this, a low risk is coded by the color green. A moderate risk is alerted by the color blue. A high risk is issued by the color yellow. A very high risk, meaning that the conditions are very ripe for a fire to start and spread quickly, are indicated by the color orange. An extreme warning is issued when the conditions are present for a fire to start quickly, spread furiously, and burn intensely. And this is identified by the color red. Okay, everybody knows that, right? All right, Paul wants the fire in Timothy to be code red. Okay, he wants a code red. He wants Timothy to develop his gift and fan into flames his gift to the point where through Timothy the gospel spreads furiously. And his followers burn intensely with a passion for serving Christ and accomplishing his mission. You say, well, I haven't been gifted like Timothy. That is not true at all. That is not true at all. Each man has his own gift from God, 1 Corinthians says. One has this gift and another has that gift. We've all been gifted. Not all of us are preachers, not all of us are teachers, but you've been given a gift by God, and you need to understand that. We've all been gifted. Are you developing your gift? Do you know what your gift is? Find out what your gift is. And once you discover it, do everything in your power to develop it. If your gift is music, go take some music lessons. If you think your gift is carpentry, you know, sit under a carpenter and become better. If your gift is hospitality, hang around somebody who just knows hospitality right and left and take notes. Whatever your gift is, develop it. Use it for God. Fan into flame that gift. Make it so that it burns intensely in your heart and that you can't help but exercising it all the time because it consumes you. You have to do it. You can't do anything else. If you did anything else, you wouldn't feel right. That's what it feels like. Don't waste what God has given you. Number three, display his spirit of godliness. Timothy has this gift of ministry, and it was given to him by God through the laying on of Paul's hands, Paul says. And Paul has instructed Timothy to fan into flame that gift by drawing on his spiritual heritage and developing the gift. But now he instructs him to display a new spirit, a spirit of godliness. See, Timothy was a shy boy. He was shy. And he had a spirit of timidity. Some of you in this room can relate to that, right? He was shy. He was sensitive. We've already mentioned how he wept when Paul had left him previously. Paul reminds Timothy that God has given him a new spirit. Timothy, listen, don't give in to the timidity. Don't give in to your shyness. Don't give in to your natural self. You've got a new spirit. For God has not given you or us a spirit of what? Of timidity. He's given us a spirit of power. A power of love and of self-discipline. In order for Timothy to fan and to flame his gift and assume the responsibility of the ministry that Paul is leaving him, he would have to take on a spirit of godliness. Now, this spirit of godliness consists of three areas. Number one, power. Power. See, Timothy would have to take on a more authoritative role. He couldn't allow his timidity to take over and be authoritative at the same time. Timothy would have to take a more authoritative role and rely completely on the power of God to sustain him and live through him. Folks, again, my Sunday school class, I apologize to you for saying this, but the Christian life is not me living for Jesus. It's what? It's Jesus living his life through me. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not my power. Yes, maybe I might be timid. I know this might surprise a lot of you in this room, but I'm actually timid. I'm actually shy. I really do. I have a shy side to me. You would never know it, but I do. In this kind of a setting, I seem to blossom, but you put me in a small group and I'm kind of fumbly, you know. You know, I am. I don't think well on my feet. I have to rely on the power of God. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. This would prove to be difficult because of Timothy's age. See, he was a young man. He was probably maybe in his early to mid-30s and yet was still considered a youth in the faith. And this is probably why Paul wrote these words in to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. It's not up on the screen, but just listen to this. He says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in what? In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Be a man of God, Timothy." The second thing is love. The spirit of godliness consists of love. See, the Bible declares that God is indeed love. I mean, we know that God is love. John tells us that all the time, right? And he's given every believer this spirit of love. God's love for man is so great that it drove him to send his son Jesus into the world to die on a cross for our sins. He held back nothing for the world that he loves. Nothing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Timothy must take on that same spirit of love, that same spirit of sacrifice for his fellow man as he fulfills his ministry. And then the third area is self-discipline. In order to fully use his gift of ministry, Timothy is going to have to show a lot of self-discipline. and apply himself to keeping the fire burning on the inside of him. He's going to have to continually stoke the fire and keep it burning brightly and intensely. Folks, let me encourage you this morning that we're not just talking about some kid that lived 2,000 years ago. This is about you this morning. We're looking at Timothy's life, but the application is about you and me. We're no different than Timothy. We have to take the spirit of godliness that Paul describes. The word that sticks out in verse 7 is, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." I want you to read that up there. I want us to read it together. Here we go. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Amen? That's what God has given us. The same spirit that was given to Paul was given to Timothy. The same spirit that was given to Timothy has been given to you. The same spirit that has been given to you will be given to those people that you pass the torch on to. Paul is writing to Timothy, folks, and he's encouraging him to carry on. And that is my encouragement to you. Carry on. Pass it 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 on. The torch has been passed. Use your gift of ministry. Persevere. Survive. Grow. You know, I guess Timothy did persevere because we're reading about it right now. I guess he listened to Paul, because if he hadn't, we wouldn't even been sitting here, would we? The torch has been passed down to us, folks. It's been passed down to us. And we can fan into flame the gifts that God has given us. We need to draw on our spiritual heritage. We need to develop the gifts that God has given us. And we need to display a spirit of godliness. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have provided people in our lives to introduce us to you. What an awesome gift that we have been given by that person or persons who guided us along to introduce us to you, to help us grow in the faith, to spur us on to good deeds, to show us the way. Thank you for them. Bless them, Father, wherever they are right now. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Because I am who I am today because of those people, and everybody in this room is who they are today because of those people. Help us to not be selfish with the gift that you have given us, but to take that gift and disperse it out to people all around us. Help us to have a heart for people, the same heart that you had for us by sending your son Jesus into this world to die for us. Give us the heart of Jesus. Help us to crucify ourselves so that Jesus can live his life through us. Help us to be the glove on the hand of Jesus, ministering to people and bringing them to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Hallelujah.